From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Howard Weiss Tisman. It's Wednesday, March 29th. Here are today's headlines.
Over the past decade, lawmakers have undertaken efforts to make sure that teenage offenders don't end up in prison. But legislation approved by the Vermont Senate on Tuesday could put more young people behind bars. Bennington County Senator Dick Sears has been a leading force behind criminal justice reforms for young offenders. But he says a surge in activity by out-of-state criminal enterprises in Vermont cities has revealed a need to preserve prison as an option for more serious offenders.
You look at the ages of many of the people that are arrested or murdered have been in the 16, 17, 18-year-old range.
Sears says Vermont's child welfare system doesn't have the capacity to house dangerous teenage offenders. The legislation approved by the Senate Tuesday would allow people as young as 14 to be charged as adults for crimes, including drug trafficking and carrying a firearm while committing a felony.
The Senate has also voted to ban the sale of all flavored e-cigarette and tobacco products. Backers of the bill say roughly 80% of teen smokers currently use products marketed with flavors like candy banana or waffle cone, which they say are intended to entice young people to start using tobacco. Franklin County Senator Randy Brock expressed concern about teen smoking rates, but isn't in favor of the bill. He says a national ban, not a state ban, offers a greater chance of success.
Remember Prohibition? What happened there? And that isn't the only case where we banned something and it's just simply moved. And the economic impact and the health impact hasn't materially changed.
The measure now goes to the House. If the bill becomes law, Vermont would become the third state in the country to ban flavored tobacco products.
Advocates are urging lawmakers to set aside more money for housing for Vermonters with developmental disabilities. Kirsten Murphy with the Vermont Developmental Disabilities Council says the state needs at least 600 new housing units for people who need supports to live on their own. And she says the situation requires prompt attention from the legislature.
There really is some urgency because people are either living with aging parents and have been doing so now, you know, their parents are in their 70s and 80s, or they're people living in hotels who no longer have home sharing situations.
Murphy says her organization favors a housing model that allows people to live in their own homes or apartments with easy access to support services.
Coming up, we'll stick with the housing theme and pay a visit to a motel in Brattleboro that was converted into apartments, but its future is now in limbo. More after this. A Southern Vermont housing group got more than $2 million in COVID relief money to buy an old motel in Brattleboro. And for the past few years, more than two dozen people who were experiencing homelessness have been staying on the property. But the building needs extensive renovations to remain in operation, and the housing group is just starting to figure out how to move forward. I recently paid a visit to Dalem Chalet and met some of the people who live there.
Let me turn on a light. That's my room.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
And then, of course, that's Midnight meowing at you.
Julie Guthrie moved into her room here at Dalem Chalet in September, and she's still kind of pulling things together.
I just got the table. I'm in the middle trying to put the legs on so that I can stand it and have some help standing it up and putting it over there. I got that from my counselor over at HCRS, and I go to the food bank every couple of weeks. That helps with some stuff.
And so this tiny former motel room marks a new beginning for Guthrie after a few rough years.
I've been married for 32 years to the same man, and he threw me out when I started having a drug problem. I was addicted to my pain medication and some Xanax. And so this is the first apartment I've actually had on my own. I've always either lived with somebody or been married. And I'm trying very hard to make it work. And so far it is. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, ladies.
The Windham and Windsor Housing Trust purchased Dalem Chalet at the height of the pandemic, at a time when advocates for those experiencing homelessness wanted to keep people separate and not living together in congregant shelters. At the same time, there were millions of dollars in COVID relief money floating through the state. So the Housing Trust saw a chance to stand up a permanent supportive housing facility. It usually takes a year or more to plan for a program like the one here, but because of the pandemic emergency, it was done in just 3 months. And at first, officials and residents acknowledge things did not go very well.
It was awful. Awful.
Kathy Corville lived here through the pandemic. She says during the first year there was fighting and drugs and frequent visits from the police.
I never went out. I always kept in my house with my door locked and everything. We would see syringes all over the place. I used to be very scared. I used to like hide in the farthest corner of my room on the floor with all the lights out, praying.
This is not the temporary motel program that's been in the news so much, and which will be winding down this summer. It's instead a model called permanent supportive housing. The tenants pay for their rooms using federal housing vouchers, and they can live here as long as they want. As part of the program, a social service agency helps tenants with medical needs, transportation, and job searches. Josh Davis is director of Groundworks Collaborative, which provides services to the tenants, and he says the first year was tough on everyone.
The way in which we got off the ground was incredibly challenging. The Housing Trust purchased the units. We had to renovate. We had to pull stuff out. The community kitchen was a mess. We start to figure out the paperwork. And we're doing that in the midst of a pandemic.
Gradually, things stabilized. But now, advocates are trying to figure out whether they can make this home for 27 people permanent. It will take extensive repairs, in part because of the unique architecture of Dalem Chalet, which could be described in a very non-technical way as being pretty funky.
That's a good description. Funky is a good description, yeah.
That's Peter Padgy, Director of Housing Development for the Windham and Windsor Housing Trust.
It was built by a German immigrant who wanted to build a German chalet. And, you know, so they built it by hand. I think, you know, a lot of the round wood came from on site. Yeah, and I think it ended up being a little funky.
Dalem Chalet was built in the late 1960s, and it was built to look like an old-world banquet facility. In its heyday, it hosted big parties, fueled by German beer and wine and rich European food. The banquet hall, which now serves as the homeless shelter's community room, has soaring beams and antlers still hanging up over the doorway. Padgy says if you were building a shelter today, you probably wouldn't do it like this.
It was built in stages, built at a time when standardization wasn't really considered, might be probably the best way to say it. And the building does need a lot of work in order to get it up to the standard that we're used to.
An engineer says it's not a teardown. The structure is sound, but it will likely take millions of dollars to have it remain as permanent housing. Richard Johnson, a tenant in the building, hopes it happens.
I'm 62 years old. I worked 45 years in the manufacturing business. I'm retired, so I chose this as my retirement home. I love the view. I love this place. And we all take care of each other. We all look out for each other, you know? And that's cool. I feel comfortable. I feel safe. And that's why I'm staying.
The Housing Trust doesn't yet know where tenants would live during construction. The motel deal also came with almost 18 acres, and some of that land could be developed into additional affordable housing. Kathy Corville, the resident who lived here during the tough times through the pandemic, says the Housing Trust has been keeping residents up to date, and she hopes to have a part in the future of the project.
There's a lot of people that are just now getting started out and have no idea how to live. And once they get into a situation like this and they take a look around and they see how other people are living, it helps them step up. Over here, there's caring. We're going to face these issues. We're going to work on them. We're going to work it out. We're going to make it better. There's hope instead of just being on your own, you know.
The Housing Trust promises to hold neighborhood meetings and initiate townwide discussions about housing and about the future of Dalem Chalet as they move forward.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel and Peter Hirschfeld.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.